We have at the moment 27 local chapters and one virtual. These are all separately incorporated organizations. They have their own little letter from the IRS that says you are a nonprofit.
You're a nonprofit.
And so they operate generally on a local level. How they define local may vary a little bit based on just how their geography is. Mm-hmm. And then additionally, we have four sections, which they're not separately incorporated. And in many cases, they're where we had a local group that wanted to start getting together, but didn't necessarily feel up to the task of running their own 501c3 nonprofit. Sure. So we basically set up something to help them operate under our umbrella so they could get their feet under them. And mm-hmm. they had a vehicle to get together.
Welcome to the Environmental Transformation Podcast, where we talk with industry leaders, climate champions, and sustainability professionals who are making an impact in their businesses today. Each leader is solving complex challenges and providing solutions within their respective areas of expertise. And here's our host, Sean Grady.
Hello, listeners. Do you have your Environmental Transformation Podcast sticker yet? Well, I'm giving away free ET podcast stickers to those who contact me via my website at www.seankgrady.com. So send me a message to receive this cool-looking sticker to proudly show your support of the podcast. Then post up a picture on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook and tag me to help promote the show. It will be fun to see where everyone puts their stickers, and I've put mine on my water bottle and my laptop. So what are you waiting for? Get your sticker today.
Welcome to the Environmental Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Grady, and our mission is to bring you interviews with leaders in the environmental industry with the goal of providing you information about industry trends, climate change, future energy, circular economy, regulatory topics, and service providers making an impact in the business. And today's guest is Rebecca Neal. Becky is the chairwoman. She's the boss of the AHMP professional organization. And how are you doing, Becky? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sean. Longtime listener, first time caller.
All right. I love that.
Yes. I you owe me a sticker.
I am giving you several. So they're coming. They'll be in the mail shortly. I can't wait. And then, you know, if you want to display it like I display mine, check this out now that you mention it. Oh, yeah. Put it on the water bottle. You know, I've been trying to give these things away to the listeners, and I'm getting very few people sign up and say, I'll take some. So, hey, they're free.
I love stickers. I will always
take stickers. I'm going to send you some right after this. I can't wait. So yes. It's great. Well, hey, welcome to the show. Before we jump in, let's talk a little bit about yourself. Let's give the listeners, you know, how you ended up being the director of the board of directors, the chairwoman of the HMP.
Like a lot of folks, my entry into environmental health and safety work was kind of semi-accidental. Although I know my mom would argue that I surprised exactly no one. as the child with the school recycling drive, and why does that bumper sticker say, save a logger, shoot an owl? And, all of those kinds of questions that came from little Becky. But I was a kid with varied interests. And so the whole cross-functional nature of EH&S work has very much, very much suited me. And I've been fortunate enough to find a lot of those kind of intersectional roles where it's a little bit of business, a little bit of operations, a little bit of regulatory, some logistics, and kind of develop this, I don't want to call it a jack of all trades, master of none skill set, but that's kind of what it's.
Well, yeah, you were building that expertise, contributing to all those aspects of the business you've been, working in. And then somehow you got connected with the AHMP. How'd that happen?
So my path through AHMP is a testament to the value of senior professionals in the industry walking up to a younger colleague and saying, I'm going to this event. You should come with me.
Oh, excellent.
So I was working for Clean Harbors in the field, lab packing, the way a lot of folks start in this industry.
Yeah.
And Dave Taylor was the compliance manager. I asked about the alphabet soup after his name. He was a CHMM. And he said, ah, well, I'm the president of the local chapter. We're having a meeting on Thursday at a local seafood house. You should come with me.
Nice.
And so, you know, I learned a little bit about the group, and I needed my time in the sandbox. So once I hit my time of service, I reached out to Ray Cook. I think he's with Heritage now, that, you know, he had his CHMM, and I said, how do I do this? And he said, the conference is in Austin this year. You take the prep class and then you take the test. Come with me.
You're like, okay, I'm in, you know, that's great.
Yeah. And, you know, I had another, you know, Joe Jenkins is a former president of the organization. You know, hey, I'm having a committee meeting. Come with me. So, you know, for all that people say, you know, how do I get young people in the room? You invite them.
Yeah, just reach out to them, right? So, you know, you were in the industry. You started out as a lab pack, field rep type person in the waste business. I started out in the waste business too. I worked for Heritage Environmental in their lab when I started out. And realized I didn't need to be in the lab. I need to be outside.
That's the way I felt about lab packing. It was a great learning experience and a long-term solution.
But I learned and got involved in the environmental business. Of course, I was a regulator for 8 years and then went to consulting. And then I realized I needed something to separate myself from, you know, my peers in the industry, or at least, you know, add some, you know, credential behind me. And the Certified Hazardous Material Manager, CHMM's credential, was the ideal fit, you know? So that was how I did. It sounded like same for you.
I did. My career has kind of taken me in a couple of different directions since then, but that was the bedrock.
Yeah. Yeah. You get that under your belt. You kind of have the foundation to really be a good professional in a lot of different disciplines.
Yeah. Well, and there's, I mean, you'll hear me say this, and I say this at meetings and town halls and whatnot. EH&S is an ecosystem, and there are many, many niches depending on what you're into. And it's about finding one that works for you.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. Well, I mean, y'all have been pretty busy lately. I mean, big part of the podcast episode today is to promote the upcoming 2021. Annual AHMP conference. Yeah, AHMP conference. So tell us about the conference. When is it? How do you get registered? How much? You know, all that good stuff. And why should someone attend?
So our conference this year runs July 25th through 28th. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So that's Sunday through Wednesday for those keeping track. The main conference itself is Monday through Wednesday. It runs around 10 to 5 Eastern. We are trying to accommodate the fact that we've got folks on both coasts, and we all have feelings about sitting in front of our computer for 9 hours a day these days.
Right.
But we've also got a 4-day Essentials of Hazardous Materials Management course that is running Sunday through Wednesday for 8-hour days.
Oh.
It's something we normally run concurrently with the conference, and this year we're doubling things up a little bit because of the way our virtual platform is structured. But you can register through our website at ahmpnet.org, or the conference website itself is ahmp-allaccess.net.
Okay. We'll put a link to that information on the podcast webpage and all that good stuff. So we'll make sure listeners get that.
Yes. Registration is currently 390 for members, 525 for non-members, but that does include 6 months of membership through the end of 2021. We also have student rates and a package for somebody who just wants to attend the keynote only.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty good. I mean, you've got the conferences out there. It's virtual, right? I mean,
yes.
Last year, you guys, during the pandemic, you pivoted pretty fast and you went virtual, which was, I think, the first time you've ever done virtual, right? So how was it received by the attendees last year?
So it's not news to anybody that 2020 was uncharted territory, and given that we were planning for August 2020, we had to make some fast choices. And our conference committee and our staff, I cannot speak highly enough of the job that they did to pivot things that quickly, sort things out with our hosts in Omaha, which we will be returning to in 2023. Confirming that speakers could speak virtually, figuring out what did networking look like via Zoom, since we were all still learning. Zoom happy hour wasn't quite a thing yet. But the feedback was extremely positive, particularly about our emergency response scenario, that our volunteers did a fantastic job of trying to capture a lot of the things that people love about the in-person conference that it would have been really easy to lose just by virtue of going virtual.
Well, I mean, so how much did that play into the decision this year? I mean, things are kind of opening up now, you know, in 2021 now. And looks like you guys decided to go virtual again. And what was that? Was that kind of a hard decision, or did you really want to do the in-person?
So a little bit of it was that we knew we didn't want to turn on a dime like last year. No one needed that lost sleep. No one needed to try to do the hard turn again. So in January, February, when we were looking at these decisions, you know, was the vaccine rollout was just starting. Nobody was quite entirely sure how long this was going to take. So we made the choice to work out a deal with our host city, which would have been Kansas City. We will be back in 2024. You notice a pattern here.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm seeing the pattern.
But we kind of just decided that we were better off being a little bit conservative, especially given that our in-person conference for 2022 is in Q1.
Oh, okay.
So we had a shorter lead time to where we will all be back in the same room in an exhibit hall, you know, doing something a little bit more familiar. So we tried to learn from last year in that we took a lot of things that ran well, where we leaned into some of the things that virtual could offer us, and we jettisoned some of the things that didn't work so well. Everybody is very over Zoom happy hour at this point.
Yeah. So Zoom happy hour, that wasn't a big attendee hit. I mean, is that kind of one of the takeaways?
But by the end of a day in front of your computer watching conference videos, everybody was kind of ready to just get up and be done.
You know, I think the big term that a lot of people have kind of recognized in, you know, this past year, Zoom fatigue. I know we're saying Zoom, but it could be Teams fatigue. It's, you know, WebEx fatigue, whatever. Virtual video fatigue meetings is a real thing, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I totally agree. I mean,
for better or worse, these days, Zoom is synonymous with video conference, whether they want it to be or not.
Well, I'm sure they're excited about that, to be honest with you. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, this is great. But no, I know. And so, okay. So the format of the virtual conference, so how does it work? I mean, does somebody get a link or something when they register, and then they're able to like log in and have access as long as they need it for the time the conference goes on? They can come in and out, or how does that work?
So prior to the actual event, I think we're pushing out our first batch of emails to the registrants on, I believe, the 19th. I apologize to my staff if I've just committed them to something, but we'll send out a link for the login. And it is, for those who attended last year, it'll look very familiar. It is a portal. It'll have a schedule. You can fill out a profile. You can see who other attendees are. You can flag them if you'd like to meet up through some of our we have little meetup conference rooms. We have a virtual exhibit hall. We've got our technical sessions that are set out everything is run through Zoom, but it's all embedded in the platform. So it'll all be through your browser. There's no need to install things. We found that was the best way to accommodate various firewalls in previous years. So,
well, okay. That sounds pretty good. I mean, so the users can log in, get access, you know, check in, check out. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, I want to say the last conference I attended in person was Tahoe. And I think it was, right? Yeah, it was time. We had the mobile app on our phone. You could walk around and you could see different Reno. Sorry. Well, yeah, sorry. Tahoe's near Reno. Sorry. You're right. Reno.
Well, because I was sitting here trying to remember, it's like, did I see Sean in Atlanta?
Yeah, no, I wasn't in Atlanta that last 19. I didn't make it. Unfortunately, I had a bunch of stuff going on. I just couldn't make it. I was, I really wanted to go, but just wasn't in the cards.
If any of us had known that was going to be the last hurrah before.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have gone. I loved Atlanta. I mean, last time we were there, what, 2009 or something like that?
Something like
I think
that.
It was 09, maybe, I think, or 010, something like that. It was a while back when we were there. To me, and I'm speaking and personal experience as a CHMM, the annual conference for the listeners, it is like it has historically been like the premier conference to attend, to mix and mingle, to get the education you need, to get, you know, cutting edge topics of, you know, what it means to, you know, be a professional in the industry with the, you know, I guess the most of the focus around hazardous materials and EHS compliance, you know, maybe not as much on safety, but definitely a lot of the other aspects of you know, your day-to-day job, because most CHMMs, they don't just do waste. They do everything else that are, you know, when they're working for a company, you know, it's air permitting, it's, you know, stormwater management. It's, you know, it's a varied, you know, it's SPCC plans. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you have to do as an environmental professional. And the CHMM is just one component. And when you study for the exam, for those listening who have not taken the exam, you cover all those aspects when you take the exam. So it's not just one thing. So I didn't want to, like, you know, you're not like pigeonholed into one area of the environmental compliance space, but it's, to me, it's the best conference, and it's a lot of fun, and you meet a lot of really cool people, you know, in the industry.
I absolutely love it. My introduction to AHMP National was the Austin conference in 2011, and great, I had conference. Found my tribe.
You were like, I'm in this one. This is great.
I found my tribe.
Yeah, that was a great conference. Yeah, for sure. And you know, I'm excited that you guys and the organization is still, you know, conducting this conference on an annual basis, because it's such a needed you know, conference for education purposes. So let's talk a little bit about some of the topics that we're going to learn about. You know.
If you're listening to this podcast, I'll bet you may be thinking, how can I level up and advance my career? If you want to get that promotion, increase your regulatory knowledge, gain professional recognition, and earn more money, then it's time to obtain an industry credential from the Institute of Hazardous Material Management. The IHMM offers 8 credentials that are ANSI approved for students, experienced, skilled employees without a degree, and for the degreed professional looking to set themselves apart from the pack. Their credentials focus on 3 main areas: Certified Hazardous Material Manager, the CHMM, the Certified Dangerous Goods Professional, the CDGP, and the Certified Safety and Health Manager, the CSHM. If you become an IHMM credential professional, then you will be in the top 1% of your profession, and your credential will have a global reach. Check out their programs they offer at www.ihmm.org. That's www.ihmm.org. What are you waiting for? Get started today.
What are some of the interesting topics that on deck this year?
Yeah, well, so our opening session, as you know, is Dr. Tej Gita, who is a principal and global leader of future energy with GHD. And he'll be talking about the future of energy and global efforts to transition to a lower carbon power grid and transportation.
I can't wait for that. I've listened to a few of his presentations internally to GHD, and what they're doing in future energy is it's amazing. I mean, we are talking with people, and his group is talking with people that are really focused on, you know, moving to hydrogen or some other future energy concept to reduce greenhouse gas and to address these ESG goals. And so you're going to hear a lot about that, listeners. I mean, that's going to be money well spent just listening to his keynote.
Oh, he, as said, he comes very highly recommended, and we're very excited about it. We really wanted to try to get ourselves a keynote that kind of looks toward the forward of the future of the profession, as opposed to something that was a little bit more historical, like we've done in past years. Mm-hmm. We also have 34 technical presentations over all 3 days, covering everything from intergenerational communications and safety to NEPA, to the Clean Air Act, to I think we have some folks from our cyber chapter talking about how to have an effective meeting and lessons learned from the last few years. So,
yeah, that's really good too. I mean, we need that. The young professionals in the organization, are they mostly connected to the cyber chapter?
It varies. Okay. And we've got folks that are attached to a number of our larger chapters along the East Coast. The most immediate past chair was out of the DC area chapter. We are actually mm-hmm. currently looking for a new chair for the Young Professionals Committee. So if any of your listeners know of a young,
I know somebody, yes. Aaron Stern, when it comes to mind, he'd be a great candidate.
He is the immediate past chair, actually.
Oh, he stepped down. Sorry.
he has moved to a different department in the federal government, and his time is a precious, precious commodity these days. And
poor guy. Not poor guy, but I mean, great, good for him, but bad for, he was a good champion for us. I know.
Aaron is an amazing person to work with. I can't speak highly enough of him. And it breaks my heart to have to find somebody else, because we thought we had found our next generation. And
don't give up on him. He'll be around still. He's got a big passion for this organization and the profession. So he'll be around.
Oh yeah.
So you've got, let's talk about attending the conference. What does the attendees get out of the conference? I mean, is there some opportunity, are there materials? Are there, what about the education credits? What do we got there?
All right. So depending on your certifications, traditionally CHMMs have gotten 20 certification maintenance points, CMPs, for renewal through the Institute. Mm-hmm. But one of the benefits of the virtual platform is that we can track session attendance, and that mm-hmm. includes reviewing of the recordings. So mm-hmm. if you do the math, we've got a keynote, we've got 34 technical sessions. If you wanted to track your contact hours, since some credentials like the CSP or CIH track through contact hours, if you wanted to track that way, you could probably claim maybe
34 hours.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's a little extra bonus here compared to normal. I like that. That's good. Because, not that it's probably real difficult to get your CMPs or CEUs, but sometimes it can be a challenge.
Yeah, having the certificate when you get the dreaded audit screen is sometimes worth it.
Yeah, no, because it's a challenge to keep those up and make sure you put that in the system. We haven't even talked about that, but that can be a challenge, just so you know, guys.
That's a whole separate beast.
We'll have a separate podcast topic on just keeping up your CEQs. No, you're right. Okay, so that's cool. So, but typically, when you attend the conference, you pretty much wipe out your year's worth of CEUs or CMPs by attending. So if you attend the conference annually, you're always covered, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Additionally, you can get CEUs for volunteering with an organization like AHMP. So another hot tip there.
Another hot tip, hey, shout out for potential volunteers. I know Becky is looking for, we're always looking for volunteers. I mean, it's a volunteer organization. There's so much to do. We really would love to hear some feedback and, get some people, reach out to Becky to, volunteer to be a server. We need servants.
Well, and historically, we've done a great job of advertising our technical content, things like the EHMM for CHMM prep. And we've just been a lot less effective at explaining how many other benefits there are to volunteering with an organization like AHMP.
Right.
Particularly if you are an early or mid-career professional, I can speak mostly to my personal experience. When I showed up at the conference in Austin, I was somebody who had trouble walking up to a group of strangers and saying, "Hi, my name is," like, much less, you know, addressing the General Assembly and having my mic go out and going, "All right, we're just going to yell." there is a confidence factor that comes from having a group like this. How to manage groups of volunteers, which, you know, for those who have not done it, is herding cats. But they're the kind of skills that you can take back to a project at work and say, you know what, I know how to get these people to do what I need them to do.
Well, not to mention the professional networking that is that's provided through the volunteer efforts that you may put into the organization, because, you know, you're going to be connected to people that are in the industry most people know this about the environmental industry. We just like recycle ourselves through the industry. You might start one place and you end up in another place. All of a sudden you're back the same place you started, 10 years ago, because new management or people, or you liked it. I mean, we're recycling ourselves through all the time. And you know, those network connections are vital for your success. So I highly recommend getting connected into an organization like AHMP. Just makes you a better professional and better connected, and usually will help you find a better job.
Absolutely. Or even just, I've had things that have come up over the years where it's like, all right, my customer says they don't need an SDS for this, and they've given me a reason and it doesn't sound right. And who can I call to tell me whether or not my BS detector is going off correctly? And
right.
It's great. I don't have to know everything, because I have an
You
network.
Don't need to know everything. That's absolutely right. So that's good. I mean, well, okay. So, there has been this kind of perception over the years that, it's been a pretty exclusive, organization. You had to be a CHMM to really participate and join. And is that changing now? I mean, is the AHMP, because it used to be the CHMM annual conference, right? Not the Alliance of Hazardous Material Professionals. So talk about that a little bit. And are we opening and getting more connected to other, groups and organizations, professionals?
So we're trying. So the core attendance and the core of our membership is definitely folks with the CHMM. And we have a longstanding relationship with IHMM. And I don't know that I see that changing anytime soon.
No.
But some years back, we opened up the broader membership to other professionals that were working in the space that may have other credentials or maybe in the process of seeking different credentials. And about 3 years ago, our membership had voted to codify that in the bylaws. We just haven't done the best job of reaching out to folks outside of the CHMM community. So over the last year or so, as a part of a new strategic plan, we went out and interviewed a bunch of our volunteers, a bunch of our membership at various levels in their career, various levels of longevity with the organization, and said, all right, what do you see as the challenges? What do you think we need to do? And we built a plan based on a couple of core touch points on what we want to be as an organization. And one of them is to define ourselves as a rallying point for people that work in the space, regardless of what credential they have. And so we've got a number of special groups, one of which is actually looking for other organizations that we can partner with, whether it's on cross-marketing, whether it's on joint conferences, producing more content that joins across multiple organizations. So we are definitely trying to do what we can to expand our outreach, to try to become a more welcoming environment to those who don't necessarily have the CHMM or, feel like other credentials might have been a better fit for them.
In other words, in a footnote, cliff note here.
In the cliff note, because
we're more inclusive now. We're more inclusive now. And we're reaching out.
And we're reaching out. Yes.
So, okay. So let's talk about this. Do the CMPs from the HMP, do they support, or are they applicable to other credential holders, like a CSP, a CIH, a PE, anybody of those kind of guys?
They historically have been. Now, how they gauge those, depending on your credential, it may be by content hours, it may be by some other metric. But we can supply, you know, certificates of attendance. We can supply copies of our agenda, depending on whether your certifying body would require that. A lot of our membership do hold multiple credentials. We do have a bunch of CSPs among the group. We have a number of CIHs, and they have all successfully used our programs as continuing education. So yes, we are applicable, whatever you may keep.
All right. That's great. I mean, because that's important for people to know, right? I mean, you know, hey, and they could probably even double dip. They can use those CMPs for your CHMM and for your SCSP if you hold two credentials, or if you have the trifecta, you know, that's a hard one. Yeah, the hat trick, you know, a CIH, a CSP, and a CHMM. That's pretty impressive. I guess you could throw in, if you argue, a couple more of those PEs and PGs, but man.
At some point, you're just collecting alphabet soup.
Yeah, then it's just that. Yeah, it's like, you know, then it's like, okay, who cares?
Sometimes less is more.
That's a good way to put it. I like it. Less is more. That's right. Okay. Well, all right.
Hey, listeners, if you're looking for a drilling and an environmental contracting firm to help you delineate the extent of contamination at your site, well, look no further than Cascade Environmental. They are the only field services contractor with the personnel and equipment needed to work with you from project conception to completion. Cascade has over 37 offices across the country and offers a huge range of environmental and geotechnical drilling, site characterization, and remediation services. Thanks to their technical expertise, huge fleet of equipment, and nationwide coverage, Cascade is a great choice to support your environmental and infrastructure project needs. To learn more, check them out at www.cascade-env.com. That's www.cascade-env.com.
All right. Well, what if you can't attend the conference? What if you just don't have the time, but you know, you need this, because, you know, you need your CMPs, but you know, you're interested in the topics and you want to know, but you can't, you know, attend. Is there a way to, you know, do it later? I don't know.
So one of the benefits of the virtual platform is that we can record sessions for live viewing, and most of our speakers have signed off on us broadcasting those or putting those up on the website for use afterwards. We have a couple that for confidentiality reasons won't, but
right.
Obviously we want everyone to attend live, and we feel like that's going to be offering the best experience for everyone, but mm-hmm. we get it. Sometimes you have other things to do. Our vice chair is taking the bar that week.
It's kind of important.
Yes. No one is begrudging her taking the bar.
Yeah.
But we'll be offering a package after the fact. I don't know how that's going to be priced at the moment, but it should be available for 6 months or so after the conference. So.
Okay.
And
that sounds good.
And those who do attend live will have access to the recording. So.
Okay.
You don't have to make any hard choices because things are being offered at the same time. You can watch the recordings later.
Oh, that's great. That's really good. Perfect. So, and then does the cost of that access the same as attending?
It.
Or is it slightly different? Maybe a little
it
less.
It will be slightly different. We haven't sorted that out amongst ourselves yet.
Haven't firmed that up yet. Okay. Right. Well, that's fine, but that's good to know. Okay. So, well, let's talk about the exhibitors for a second. You know, how does one sign up to be an exhibitor?
So, we've got some amazing dedicated staff that have been working on onboarding our exhibitors, and the exhibitors have access to kind of a virtual trade booth, and it allows attendees to download materials. They can interact via video. They can run raffles. They have access to all kinds of analytics attached to who attended their booth, who downloaded their stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, things that if you've ever run a live booth at a trade show, you would really love to be able to get, but you're usually too busy talking people to take notes.
Right, right.
So we're excited about what we can offer our exhibitors, and those interested can either reach out to our staff at info@ahmpnet.org.
Okay.
Or they can just reach out to me directly and I can put them in touch with the right people.
Okay. And so, but there's a link on the website to, you know, sign up and get the details. Okay, perfect. So, we need some more exhibitors, it sounds like. At least, we always need more exhibitors, right? Right. Yeah. We're not going to turn them away, you know. And, you know, that is like where, you know, attendees get to learn like who's in the industry, right? Like who's out there providing services that I need or you need or our company needs, right? I mean, that's one of the best things about going to a conference in my mind is I get to learn who are the players in the market, right? Who are the people I need to know? Who should I be working with, you know? And you know, that's a great way to get those connections started, right?
It really is. And I know I've been on both sides of the trade booth, and it is a valuable exchange. It's great to be able to see, well, wait, you do that too? I've been using you for X service, and you can also take care of all of these things for me? Like, that's you'd be surprised how many of your own customer base don't necessarily realize your full service offering.
Oh, right. Absolutely. So it's a great opportunity. Again, another way to network and get to know others in the industry and what service providers out there that are making an impact in the business. That's right. Okay, if you are an exhibitor, how do the attendees interact with the exhibitors? I kind of mentioned a little bit, but
The platform is actually set up to, it's got, we kind of call it a virtual exhibit hall. And so you walk in and you've got these little logos that identify who is attending, and you click on them and it brings you into their booth. And you can either click to live chat with them, you can download their material and sneak off to go read it before you live chat with them. You've got some exhibitors will put up videos about their service offerings that you can watch. There are a number of different things depending on what the exhibitor is uploaded. Mm-hmm. And I said, from the exhibitor standpoint, you get to see who has been in your booth and who's watched your videos and who's downloaded your material. And then you can follow up with them later and say, hey, I saw you downloaded about these service offerings.
Do you need help with that or more information about that? Right. Yeah. No, that's great. Okay. So there's a good way to have some dialogue, even though it's virtual, but it can be in person at some point if they, make the connection and things are opening up. I mean, I don't know about you down in Texas, but I mean, they've opened up quite a bit, haven't they?
I mean, I suspect I will have masks in every purse and pocket I own for quite a while, but yeah, it's, the world is definitely feeling a little bit more normal, and it's nice thank to be God. Able to just go get a pizza sometimes.
Jeez, yes, thank goodness, we need that, right? I mean, the mask thing has been really a burden.
I'm done with the fogging.
I'm over
the fogging.
Oh, totally agree.
Glasses spurs your night.
Yes, I can't wait to. Yeah, that's always been a pain. And well, okay, so what type of resources are available for attendees or those who are interested in becoming a CHMM or a CHMP, a Certified Hazardous Material Practitioner, or a Certified Dangerous Goods Professional? Now, I'm assuming those three credentials are all kind of part of the AHMP's kind of purview of attracting those certified professionals. I mean, a dangerous goods professional, I mean, that's hazardous materials. That's, same for the CHMP. I mean, there's three credentials that are directly in this, right? Right.
Yeah. So this year we are offering our Essentials of Hazardous Materials Management course, Sunday through Wednesday, in conjunction with the conference. And this course is actually very newly revised. I think this is the third time that we've offered it, based on our newly updated fourth edition of the Hazardous Materials Desk Reference. And so it covers all aspects of what is in the CHMM blueprint. And folks who do take the course definitely have a very good track record on the exam. I know I took it Friday through Sunday before going to the Austin conference, and then took the exam at Austin Community College on my way driving out of town.
Good deal. Yeah. Well, and that blueprint's changed recently too. So that's a point of conversation. Talk about that.
Yeah. So the IHMM updates their blueprint periodically. And so I don't want to call it an arms race they who write the exam and we who try to help prepare people for the exam.
Right.
But we just at the end of last year released our new desk reference, and in February of this year we rolled out our new version of the Essentials course. So this is very, very hot off the press. I know this covers a lot of parts of the CHMP exam as well. Those who are looking for a CDGP, that exam is a lot more specialized. They'll probably have to wait till our in-person conference in Las Vegas for us to offer a course for that. We normally work with Gene Sanders, which for those who have not met him, he's forgotten more about dangerous goods than I will ever know.
But he's teaching it, huh?
He's teaching it. And
okay, good. All right, fantastic. That's a good plug for Gene. That's good. Well, all right. So are we gonna have any special announcements at the conference?
I obviously don't want to steal any of our own thunder, but we do have a number of things in the works with regards to new publications. As always, we will have our awards for members and chapters.
Okay.
This year, which does include a Professional of the Year, a Young Professional of the Year, and the Pete Cook Founders Award, which is our Lifetime Achievement Award.
Okay.
So we do have a full slate there that we're very excited about.
Awesome.
We are also looking at rolling out some newer programs to try to recognize some of the longstanding members of our community that have contributed for a long time, and that we really haven't always done the best job of just recognizing them and making sure that we're taking advantage of their historical perspective. So we've got a bunch of things in the works that we're really excited about.
Well, that's exciting. So there'll be little surprises that'll be sprinkled in throughout the conference. That'll be good because, you know, it's nice to give some recognition to participants who are volunteering their time to, you know, promote and support the organization and just all the good work that they've done. And I think that's great. I'd love to hear it. Well, talk a little bit about how the organization is kind of set up. You know, we talked a little bit about chapters, you know, talk about what are chapters and how does that work as far as, you know, basically herding the cats of all the CHMMs, you know, in the organization.
So we have at the moment 27 local chapters and one virtual. These are all separately incorporated organizations. They have their own little letter from the IRS that says you are a nonprofit.
You're a nonprofit.
And so they operate generally on a local level. How they define local may vary a little bit based on just how their geography is. Mm-hmm. And then additionally, we have four sections, which they're not separately incorporated. And in many cases, they're where we had a local group that wanted to start getting together, but didn't necessarily feel up to the task of running their own 501c3 nonprofit. Sure. So we basically set up something to help them operate under our umbrella so they could get their feet under them. And mm-hmm. they had a vehicle to get together. That's obviously been a bit of a struggle over the last 18 months.
That's been a bit of a struggle.
But the idea is that we're trying to make it easier for people to get together on a local level, as opposed to saying, all right, congratulations, you'd like to form a chapter. Here's how you incorporate. That seems like a heavy lift for folks. And so we're trying to do a better job of meeting our core value.
Well, and then I guess the ultimate kind of concept of these sections, just do virtual chapter, right? You could just do that.
Yes.
So talk about that.
There is a virtual chapter that has existed actually since the 1990s. And for those that are there, it basically exists to service those who don't have access to a local chapter, or a lot of people are members of multiple chapters. When the Houston chapter was active, I paid dues to both mm-hmm. because I saw value in both. Mm-hmm. They can be found at hmpcyber.org. Bill Perkins is the current president, and I believe that he and Sarah Henderson, who is their immediate past president and is an advisory director on the national board, will be presenting on Wednesday about how the cyber chapter has been able to operate and grow, and how they hold effective meetings, and how they make everything work in the virtual space, given that a lot of the things that you would use to run an effective meeting are things like body language and things that you just can't get over a conference call.
Yeah,
so they've kind of had to learn a new skill set.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're really ahead of us because they've been Zooming for a while, right?
they definitely have. And they've got it.
We had to take a page out of their book, their playbook. Yeah. They've been doing this a while. And then, you know, that's pretty cool. I'm glad that the cyber chapter is still kind of active and still going strong. And I'd be surprised. I wonder how many members are part of the virtual, chapter compared, the cyber chapter compared to like other chapters. Is that something you know?
So I was their secretary for 6 years, ending in 2020. Oh, okay. And I want to say it was 150 some odd members when I left was what the roster was.
Well, that's a lot compared to like some of the chapters, right? Some of the chapters are just about 50 or 40 or 50, right?
We've got chapters as small as a dozen. So,
okay. All right. No, that's good. That's real good. I like it. Okay. Well, let's see.
This episode is sponsored by Terra Nova Solutions, specializing in industrial services, remedial construction, and waste disposal services throughout the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and in the Southeast regions of the U.S. With locations in upstate New York, North Carolina, and South Carolina, Terra Nova provides proven remedial technologies, customized industrial services, and total waste management programs that include both self-performed and third-party waste disposal. Terra Nova's crews perform both routine and specific industrial service level project engagements for top tier clientele on the East Coast. Their staff are seasoned professionals and travel routinely to most locations in the U.S. Give Terra Nova Solutions a call today at 315-359-1308 or check out their website at www.tnsolutions.co for support on your next project.
How is the AHMP trying to, what are they doing to try to attract young professionals? I mean, we talked about, hey, bring somebody along, ask somebody, but what are we really doing to kind of, you know, advance the organization and the value of it with young professionals?
Right. So this was one of the clear points of focus when we developed our new strategic plan. I'm not saying anything new or controversial when I say that there's kind of a known pipeline issue with the industry. It's that the industry is very, very top heavy when it comes to senior folks that are at some point going to want to retire. Mm-hmm. And so we've got a couple of different groups that are attacking this from a couple of different angles, as well as our Young Professionals Committee that we kind of talked about earlier. So we have a group that is working to license our Essentials course and our desk reference to colleges and universities as a way to help provide students with some knowledge of the opportunities and the regulatory framework that's out there. Particularly, this was not a thing when I was in college, but there are all of these new degree programs that are specifically health and safety, industrial safety, environmental management. This mm-hmm. this was not a thing when I was choosing my college major.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I agree. I mean, yeah, I was a biology major and
chemistry.
Yeah. But, so if you weren't going into, I don't know, medicine or working,
teaching.
Yeah. It was like, what are you gonna do with your biology degree? Well, I mean, there was a lot that you could do, but, it was more of the natural sciences instead of, like an engineering job or something, right? So, or chemistry.
Absolutely. And we've also got a group that's working on a new social media strategy to help get our message out to a larger audience.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes. So
because that social media is where it's at.
Go where your audience is.
Right. I mean, people want that, basically 4 second bite of information that they can learn from and it'll, remind them to do something, right? I mean, they need it in quick little,
it's the messages. Here's your little tidbit and here's a link if you want more.
And right.
And sometimes you want a tidbit and sometimes you want more.
Right. And those people that are pretty savvy, they're the ones who dig in and learn a little more and then they come back and then they drop the facts on people, right?
Yes.
That's what the young professionals do these days.
Fun. that's part of the fun.
That's right. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we have another group that is See, we've got our fingers in all kinds of things these days. Okay. We have another group that is seeking out other organizations that we can partner with. And they've identified, one of the things that they've come up with is that we want to put together a roadmap, career pathways, credentials, and that kind of information that we think would be extremely helpful to early and mid-career professionals that are looking to be a little bit more deliberate about charting their pathways through the industry. I mean, I know just my own path has kind of taken a lot of twists and turns kind of based on where the opportunities were. And
right.
Being able to have more information to be a little bit more deliberate about that is something that we feel can offer a lot of value to, like I said, the early and mid-career professional if we can put together something that's useful through them.
Right. I mean, and you know, there's a lot of organizations out there that it you know, there's certainly some overlap, right? I mean, let's be honest. There's overlap in the Air and Waste Management Association comes to mind. It's like, that's a big one. It's like, you're going to do air, you're going to do waste. Well, CHMMs do air and waste. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, a big one. You've got safety is a big one. The ASSP. Yeah, they're a big one.
There's a group for water technologists. There's a group for municipal waste folks. There's a group for it. There are lots of little niches that have their own specialized group. And we're in a position to, because we have people that do all facets of that, it's like, well, let's try to be a little bit more of a live up to our name and be an alliance.
Yeah, right. Yeah, let's help sponsor or help support these other, you know, conferences and organizations where we can to, you know, participate, you know, I guess maybe have some sessions, mm-hmm. communicate the value of the organization or some topics, you know, like key topics, you know, sponsored by the H&P. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think there's going to be a lot there to really help, you know, make the industry better.
There is. And one of the things that we've generally found in, you know, as we started talking to members and talking to folks that have, you know, lapsed, is that our biggest competitor as a professional organization is not other professional organizations. It's people who just aren't involved in anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah.
They just got apathy or they're just kind of like, well, I learned what I need to know. I'm kind of getting, you know, comfortable. You know, they don't really think that they should be involved in helping advance the community of professionals and the organization. So, and maybe that's overgeneralizing. Maybe it's overgeneralized a little bit, but we do need more people to kind of step up and I get it. You know, young professionals starting out, man, they're really, you know, early to mid career. I mean, they're really like trying to build their career and more than likely they got families they're dealing with at home. They got kiddos. They got to go pick up and take to the, you know, ball games and soccer games. I mean, in recitals and whatever. I mean, there's a lot of time commitments pulling on all of us. So sometimes it's hard for us to, you know, commit, but as you get to another level in your career, I mean, I'm in a good spot right now where I'm able to contribute back more than I was in the past, you know? And so I'm doing what I can. It's great, you know? But that's kind of, you know, helping advance the organization. Well, we all need to think about that as we're bringing along others and advancing the profession. So that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else we got here? So what are the annual membership dues? You know, if you're going to be a CHMM, what, you know, what are we in for?
So the dues for AHMP are $125 a year. This is separate from whatever you pay to BCSP or IHMM or whoever issues your actual credentials. Right. But we do have discounted rates for students and emeritus professionals.
Yep. Okay. Right.
So
that's good. That seems reasonable. I mean, that seems pretty reasonable. You're helping advance the organization, participating and, you know, put a little skin in the game, commit and, you know, learn, get some resources out of it as well. That's good. And network. Does the AHMP have a list of, members that, you know, people could call up and, you know, get access to?
We do have a directory that is, if you go to our website, I believe the link says find a member. Mm-hmm. And you can look by name, by specialty, by location. So if you need somebody in Indianapolis that does asbestos remediation, you can click the correct boxes.
You can probably find them there.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's a great resource for people. People don't realize there's those benefits to being a member there. That's really good. Well, I mean, there's so many great things. I am excited to get back into, in-person conferences, because the idea of rotating these national conferences to a good destination location, not too far off, like not Alaska, but you know.
I don't think we'll be doing that again. I promise you. One trip to Alaska. Actually, I take that back.
I'm sure it was fun.
Alaska were enough.
I'm sure it was fun, but I mean, at the same time, but in good spots, right? I mean, we've got good spots where we have these conferences, and they're always in a good spot. I mean, New Orleans was a great conference. I thought that was a good one. We had a good time there. And
New Orleans was wonderful. Let's see, we're trying to think.
Austin was great.
Austin's great.
You know, Orlando was good. Yeah, we've had all, DC was good. I mean, we've had a lot of really good, Reno was good. There's just been a lot of really good spots. And I know that we're always looking for good places to go and attend. Chicago is probably comes to mind to be a good spot. That's always the fun of getting out and meeting the people and going places and seeing new places too, because you always weave in something local about, the area when you're at those conferences.
We definitely try to, particularly with our site tours or the emergency response scenario, we really try to pick something that is fitting to the local area. That's part of the benefits of going to some of these places, is that you can do some of the things that are unique to what industry is doing in that area.
And there's always good food and restaurants around, and a lot of good late nights carousing sometimes if you want to, or you can turn in early too.
I tend to leave these things utterly exhausted. It's just kind of the way of it.
Yeah, no, but it's a great time and a lot of good camaraderie. And so I'm looking forward to the conference this year. And again, next year, where are we going to be next year? Again, I don't think we talked about that, did we? Where's 2022?
We are going to be in Vegas in 2022. Oh, we are at Planet Hollywood.
Planet Hollywood in Vegas. Here we come.
Right in the middle of the strip.
Yeah. All right. This is going to be fun. I think Dave Carey, one of the past presidents, he's a big Vegas guy. He'll probably show up. Shout out to Dave Carey.
I think very high on my list of things to do in Vegas is to just have a nice congratulations, folks. We're on the other side. We're in the same place again. Party.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's going to be good. And have it in the reception hall where it's a little bigger, a little more extended than normal. I think that'd be pretty cool if we could do something like that. That would be great.
Bring in the exhibitors, bring in the sponsors. Just, all right, guys, like, we're on the other side. Let's. Cheers.
Yeah, exactly. Cheers. That's right. Open up. That's coming up in, you said first quarter in 2022. So when is that? Do we have dates
that
already?
That is on March. I want to say it is the third week in March. We definitely did book it after the tier two reports is due on March 1st. We absolutely were looking to not give anybody any more.
That sounds like it's going to be kind of coinciding with March Madness too, possibly. That could be good.
We are the 19th through the 23rd, and that did not occur to me that we would be over March Madness.
That could be really good, though. A lot of good stuff there. I don't know. We'll see. That sounds great.
It's a blood sport in my family.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we do those brackets too, and it's always good. I tell you, the best ones, the online ones like CBS or something like that, those are so great. I love that one. That's a good. Well, look, this is going to be great.
We need to do an AHMP bracket pool for the conference.
We should. That sounds like a great idea. And you can sign up $5 a bracket or something, and maximum two.
Prizes?
Yeah. No, that's a good idea. I mean, it's all about Vegas.
Yes.
Well, I like it. I like it. I think we're coming up with some good ideas already for that conference, and we're not even there yet.
Yes.
We got the big one coming up next month. So I'm super excited about it. We've got a great keynote speaker with Tej Gita from GHD's Future Energy Group, global leader there. That's going to be exciting. Lots of great topics to cover. So, you know, your staff, Becky, you and your staff are doing a fantastic job. I know it's a lot to put on your plate, especially in a volunteer role. I mean, this is a lot of work and this is a lot of after hours. People don't understand, you know, you do calls, you know, every week for weeks on end, you know, after hours, you know, to make sure this happens. And so thank you for all your hard work.
Absolutely. And thanks to we're really fortunate in that we have a small army of volunteers working with us that could always be bigger, but I think I've said on a number of occasions, I'm always flattered at the quality of the company I get to keep with this group.
Nah, that's great. That's good. Well, thanks for coming on the show today, Becky. I think we're going to have a lot of really good turnout on the conference. We're going to try to promote this really hard over the next couple weeks to get this out. I'm going to try to turn this around pretty quickly so we get some promotional on it maybe later this week. And then, you know, in the coming weeks, let's just get on social media and keep pushing this thing out to people. And you know, I think it'll get some excitement.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
I want to thank our guest, Becky Neal, the chair of the Alliance of Hazardous Material Professionals, for coming onto the show today. If you want to learn more about the AHMP and how to register for the annual conference this coming July 25th through the 28th, check out their website at www.ahmpnet.org. We'll also put a link to their contact information on my website. To listen to future Environmental Transformation podcasts, you can check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other podcast networks, or from my website at www.seankgrady.com. You can also follow me on Instagram or the Environmental Transformation Podcast Facebook page. If you enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends. We would really love to hear feedback from the ET Nation about the episode and any future podcast topics you'd like me to cover. Well, thanks for listening, and until next time, make a positive impact in someone's life today.